I want to thank everyone for logging on tonight and those that are going to be listening to this message and those that are here. It's our Wednesday night service, and I want to share something that's been on my heart because there's a flow that's going on this week because of some individuals that are coming into the town and things of that nature. And I'm not going to get specific or pacific or how specific about it. But with that being said, there's a person in a religious sector that is confessing that he's a sinner. And, you know, there's a big media that is accepting the fact that we're sinners. And I really want to clarify sinners and what sin is, because technically sin does not exist. How many people understand that sin does not exist? Sin only exists if we're under somewhat you call a law. I'll try to break it down a little bit. We were never in sin, ever. There's a rumor or a lie that has been brought up from generation to generation, even in the Christian world, even in the Hindi world, the Muslim world, all the Asian worlds, all these worlds of religion, about being born in sin. And even this book that's called the Holy Bible, right here, says that you're born in sin. Okay? But this book actually corrects itself later and says how we're not in sin. And I want to share that. How many people realize that they'll read something and then they take that as the whole picture? And they never really get to see the end picture of it. Well, sin is really just a lack of knowledge, not knowing better. And if you knew nothing, okay, you're still not in sin. So let's say, for example, you're a little child and you go over there and you steal a cookie. Someone says, don't take those cookies. And you went over there and took a cookie. Let's say you were with a group of people and the other group said that, you know, knew that they weren't supposed to take a cookie, but you didn't know not to take a cookie. You had no idea not to take a cookie. And you went over there and you took a cookie. And right away, someone would say, oh, you stole a cookie. Oh, you did something wrong. Oh, you're bad. You're bad. Well, that individual never knew that they weren't supposed to take a cookie. So that doesn't make them a thief, so to say. It doesn't make them where they stole something when they told them not to take it, or disobedient, or however you want to look at it. The person didn't know not to take the cookie. Sin comes in when the person knew not to take a cookie and went ahead and did and took the cookie. That's when sin comes in, because you've come under a law. The law is, don't take the cookie. Someone said, don't take the cookie. And that made it a law. And because they went against the law and took a cookie, they're considered a sinner. Or they got sin. And they want you to confess your sin. So you go and say, oh, I acknowledge I took the cookie when I shouldn't took the cookie, so I'm sorry. This is the tradition of sin. It was supposed to be the tradition of sin. But it's not true. First of all, if you're not really sorry about taking the cookie, are you without sin, so to say? Think about it. How many people go and say they're sorry and they're not really sorry? Does that make them not have sin anymore? Does that make them have sins? This is a big controversy. I want you to know that sin is only sin when you begin to manifest it as sin. For example, if you know that you did something and you shouldn't have been able to, you shouldn't have done it, how do you know, first of all, that you shouldn't have done it? That's the number one question first. Let's say if you told me not to take a cookie and I went ahead and took it. There was a reason behind me taking that cookie. I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel bad taking that cookie at all. Does that make me a sinner? The answer is no. And the reason is because inside of me, I didn't feel bad. There was a reason. Let's say I took that cookie to go feed somebody who never ate anything before and their whole, you know, that whole day they were starving to death. Does that make me a sinner because I took the cookie when you told me not to? I want you to understand what sin really is. Sin is only sin when it's within you. Not because somebody said something and told you not to do it. Sin is sin when it's inside of you, and I'm going to tell you what I mean. Let's say, whether you said not to take the cookie or not, let's say I went over there and I took that cookie. Something inside of me started to feel not good about taking that cookie. Something inside of me started making me feel like, maybe I shouldn't have taken that cookie. For what reason, I don't know why. But something inside of you told you not to take that cookie. Okay. This is where sin begins to start. It's not sin yet, though. I want you to see it. It's not sin yet. It becomes sin when you take that cookie and you feel bad about it. You acknowledge the feeling of feeling bad. And then you go ahead and ignore that feeling. You ignore that sense that you have inside. You ignore it. And then you indulge again. And you indulge again. And you indulge again. And then let's say you start getting bitter and angry because people start saying, hey, you know what, you shouldn't be doing that or you shouldn't be doing this. And then all of a sudden you start getting angry, you start getting hatred, you start getting all this stuff going on. Now it becomes sin. I want people to understand sin. How many of us get accused real quickly for doing something wrong? Well, here's another thing of sin. Judging people, that's a sin too. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you never knew to judge somebody was a sin, then you shouldn't judge. It doesn't matter unless someone says, hey, you know what? You shouldn't judge that person. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know why they're doing it. So maybe you shouldn't do it. And you don't hearken to that knowledge, and you continue to judge. That's a sin also. I want us to start realizing how sin is created and what is sin. First of all, sin does not exist until you create it within by not listening to it, by not listening to conviction, it's called. Conviction of your heart, knowing that something's wrong and you continue to do it. Everybody knows what's right and wrong, wouldn't you agree? I don't have to tell you. You know. Now, what you might think is bad, I may not think it's bad. So maybe what you think is sin, I may not think is sin. How many people are following me on this one? Okay, I want to try to be really clear here, because there is a law that is written on our hearts, and this is the law that we need to follow. Not the law that, let's just say, man makes. Even though, you know, you have to cordially respect and things of that nature, but you don't have to come under it to the point where it's a law in your life. If you feel good about it, then it's okay. If you don't feel good about it, then it's not okay. If you continue to do it and you know it's not good, it begins to manifest into a sin. It's not a sin yet until you begin to ignore it. I want everyone to understand what I'm trying to say here. When you begin to ignore it, then it becomes sin. Now, is sin bad? Not all sin is bad. I'm going to share something in the Bible in a minute. This book here that I call the Bible, which the book is called the Bible. It's the only book that I found that is close to what I know. And it bears witness with what I know, so I follow it. Not everybody can really understand this, to be honest with you. You got to be in the light. And I'll say this a lot of times. You have to be in the light. If you're in the darkness, you can't understand this. It'll be like foreign to you. If you're in the light, then you can understand it, and it won't be so foreign. Well, getting back to sin, and this is a real touchy subject. You don't judge anyone, and if you judge somebody, you become in sin. So, I guess the moral of sin is, don't judge someone because you don't know whether they're following the conviction or not. You don't know anything about that person, whether or not they're following the conviction of their heart. Nobody knows the law written on anybody else's heart. Only that person. And I'm going to give an example. Sarah, come on up here for a minute. Let's say this is a strange woman here, and I just met her for the first time, and I fell in love with her. And who can understand love? Nobody, right? Nobody understands love. Love is a mystery. And I fell in love with this person. And everyone else is like, oh, you know, you shouldn't love that person, or you shouldn't be with that person, or this person's really good for you, you should be with them, or whatever. The only thing that we should listen to is what's inside of us. That's the only thing. That's the law that I'm trying to talk about. Geez, what does he see in that person? I have no idea. That's a judgment. That person is in sin, not you. You know, maybe this person's a real rotten person or something. Who knows? I don't know. And they're judging like I shouldn't be with that person. Who are we to judge? This is what starts to create sin. Thank you, Sarah. And we have to be careful not to judge, for one. That's like a sin that is no good. That's an area in our lives that we shouldn't judge. Now, there's many types of judgment. You can point out certain things that you may not agree with, and you may know that it's wrong, and you can even say it's wrong. But this is where judgment starts to come in at, to the point where you want to reprimand, or you want to begin to start. I want to be careful about what I say, because there's a certain way of judging, but there's a righteous judgment in it, okay? And then there's a judgment which is just accusations, where you're accusing. And you have to be real careful with the two. You can't go around accusing. But if you know fact, then it's okay to judge, because then you're the righteous judge. And maybe I'll cover that later. But right now, I want to kind of stick with sin, because for someone to say, you know, we're all sinners, and I'm a sinner, and the whole world's a sinner, it's vulgar to me. I'm sorry. Don't be calling me a sinner, because I'm not a sinner. You see what I'm saying? I'm not a sinner, and they can't judge me and say I'm a sinner. Now, this book here says that we're a sinner. It says that we all fall short of the glory of God. And it even says in John that if the man says he's not a sinner, then he's a liar. In 1 John, it says that. But they're talking about the individuals who have no relationship whatsoever with God, who knew God. That's who they're talking about. Remember I said they take one scripture verse and they never really take the whole picture? Well, anyone who knows God and decides not to obey God, so to say, is considered a sinner. But one who knows God and walks in a faith to believe God, the true living God, the only God of truth, then there's a place where you come where you're no longer in sin. You become a son or a daughter of God, a child of God. And when you are a child of God, you are in a learning process of following God. And where is God? Does anyone have it? Very good. God is within. And so if you're following your heart, that's who God really is. God is really your heart. But the spirit of your heart, not the muscle that pumps the blood. You know, the spirit of your heart. You either got a good heart or you got a bad heart. I think we all have good hearts. I truly believe that. I think we're a little confused about the wounds on our hearts. You know, the hurt parts that cause us to be angry, the ones that cause us to judge, the ones that need to be healed. They're the areas that project us to be sinners. But we're not sinners. We're just hurt. That's all it is we're just hurt. We're hurt because we made mistakes. And most of the time, the mistakes weren't mistakes. Somebody judged us. So somebody put sin on us. How many people are following what I'm saying? See, it was never... If your hurts, your wounds, your scars, your shame only came because of yourself, judging yourself, or somebody else. Somebody else rejected you. Somebody else condemned you. Somebody else, you know, judged you in a very harsh way. How many people understand that one? And so sin only was existed and only was created by us, by judging ourselves, by condemning ourselves, by hurting ourselves and others. Judging ourselves, pointing our fingers, you know, and condemning us. If we didn't have that, would sin exist? No. It wouldn't exist. Sin wouldn't exist at all. You felt bad. You don't know why you felt bad, but you got over it. You shook it off. Oh, well, I guess everything will be okay. This is how the forgiveness of sin begins. Forgiveness of sin. See, sin doesn't exist, and there's a remedy of how to get rid of sin when it does exist. So sin is nothing more than you having scars or hurts on your heart. So if you can picture this, you have a good, pure heart. Somebody, either you or somebody else, came over and whipped it, scarred it up, and hurt it. You held on to those hurts. You're in sin. How do you get healed from sin? How do you get delivered from sin? How do you get set free from sin? The wounds, the hurts, have to heal. How do they heal? You forgive. You forgive yourself. You forgive those that scarred it. You basically get over it and move on. You have to let it go. There's a point in your life where you need to just let it go. You let sin go. You let it go. You just lay it down. It's like laying your life down, becoming born again. This is the question in religion, because there's witnesses in heaven. There's witnesses. And one of the witnesses is God, which is truth. You look at the facts. What are the facts? You look at the facts, and the facts are what brings healing. You acknowledge the facts, and then you change the way you're thinking. That's called repentance. And then you change the way you're thinking based on the truth. That's God. Based on the truth. You let it go. Yeah, I stole the cookie. Okay, I let it go. It's the ones that are just in denial, the ones that won't accept it, the ones that justify, the ones that make excuses, the one they just never come to the place of being without sin. I want us to show you how to come out of sin when supposedly we're accused of being in sin, when in the reality of it is we're not. We've just been wounded. We were hurt. We were hurt by others and ourselves by a lack of understanding. We were put in a position where we were victims. And because we were victims, whether through ourselves or through somebody else, now we got a black label on us as sinners. Now we're considered bad. You know, most of the time, people get worse when they can't let it go. They get more angry, and they get more, rebellious, and they get more crazy, and they get more out of control, and then they go really into extremes. And they know that they're hurting themselves, and they just continue to go on more and more into sin. And then when you start laying it on them, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. You need to do this. You need to say that. You got to do this. And based all on these works, how do you think people get further and further into sin? They reject it. I don't want to do that. I think it's stupid. I don't think it's right. Why should I have to do this? Why should I have to do that? Can't I just be left alone? Actually, that's the best way to deal with somebody that's in sin. You just let them go. Remember, the ones in sin are the ones who are just wounded by being condemned or judged. So if we don't judge anyone and we just lift them up and encourage them, if we don't abuse them anymore, unless, you know, there's some situations where there's tough love comes in and you really have to do intervention, but that, I don't want to go in that area yet. I'm not talking about intervention. That's a whole different degree. I'm talking about your common self sin, feeling good about yourself or feeling bad about yourself. We all need to come into repentance. And that's just simply changing the way we're thinking. Through my life, did I have it easy? No. But I don't think anybody had it easy. So for me to just feel sorry for myself, does that feel sin? Yes. It fuels sin. So I can't feel sorry for myself. This is where repentance comes in at. This is what repentance is. Changing the way you're thinking. You're suffering. You suffer just as much as this guy. You don't know. What are you judging the whole world as if they had it better than you? You see where judgment comes in and begins to fuel sin? So sin doesn't really exist. It only exists when we fuel it, when we bring it into our lives, when we don't let the wounds on our heart heal. A child, you're going to tell me, an infant, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, is in sin? You're going to tell me that that child, 10, 11, 12, 13, they're in sin? 15, 16, 18, when does sin begin to start? I'm going to tell you when sin begins to start. When that person can't forgive themselves or others. That's when sin begins to start. It could start at 3, 4, 5 years old. It could. But it's not manifesting as if they're a bad person. You know where it's manifesting? In their heart, where nobody can see it. It's manifesting and growing in their heart. It's a slice on their heart that no one can see. I'm talking about a series of God and why God. This is why God. Because God sees the wounds on our hearts and he's able to heal those wounds in our heart. But should we as humans condemn one another and make them feel like a sinner and force someone to publicly confess or force someone to publicly go to someone else and confess or publicly do these embarrassing things? When in reality, we should just walk with forgiveness altogether. Help you build a relationship with my God, the God of truth, that can deliver you and set you free by just getting you to change the way you're thinking. In love. Rather than walking around condemning you and judging you and making you feel not worthy to live. It can get really, really bad. We can brainwash ourselves to the point where we're not worthy to live. We can condemn our own wounds based on our past and condemn ourselves so bad so that we lose self-esteem. And then we're in sin. Then you can say you're in sin, but not to point fingers and say you're a loser. Not to point fingers and say you're no good. You need to get to church. You need to confess. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to get on your knees and pray to God that you will be delivered. I will say you need to have a relationship with God so that he can heal you. But I'm not going to say you have to. It's your choice. You want to walk in that or not? I don't know. It's up to you. You want to feel bad? Go right ahead. Feel bad. I feel good. I'm walking in righteousness. I want to tell you how to get righteousness. How to get away from the world. How to come out of the world and come into righteousness. How to come into being cleansed. Forget about the past. Forget about it. Don't condemn yourself anymore. Don't put all that hardship on you. Forgive yourself. That's one of the major, major big keys. Forgive your circumstances, because I'll tell you, there are some that are walking around bitter based on where their ethnic group came from, where they were born, the color that they were born. I mean, it goes on and on and on, and they get angry over that. I know an individual that I love dearly. The person is very bright and intelligent, but there's a bitterness in that person, and I asked, and he's like, you weren't born in my ethnic group. You have no idea. And I was like, dude, you just got to get over it. You just got to let it go. It is what it is. You don't understand. I'm judged. I'm judged all the time. Really? I'm not judging you. Maybe the judgment is coming from yourself. Has anyone ever come to that place where you've judged yourself and you made yourself something that you're not even that person? And then you took on that identity? That happens a lot. How about just being a brat? And then you judge yourself as being a brat or maybe you feel as though you're a thief. You know, one of the biggest things is, and I love this group. I'm an alcoholic. I haven't drank for 20 years, but I'm an alcoholic. Really? Well, if you didn't drink for 20 years, I don't see that you're an alcoholic. Why are you still saying you're an alcoholic? I don't understand. They got to get free. I'm always an alcoholic. Been an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I'm sorry. Set yourself free. You're not an alcoholic. I hope those that are listening hear what I'm saying. If you haven't drank, what makes an alcoholic to begin with? I guess I was an alcoholic because I drank. So I'm going to walk around and say I'm an alcoholic. Never saying I just drank a lot. I wasn't an alcoholic. I like drinking. I'm going to drink again, if the Lord wills. But right now, I don't feel it in my heart to do it, so I'm not going to do it. So I want to continue to talk about sin. Sin doesn't exist. It only exists if we create it. It's the stripes on our hearts that we don't forgive ourselves. It's the stripes on our heart that we don't allow God to forgive ourselves. Because we're already forgiven. We didn't do anything wrong. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? We didn't do anything wrong. And so for me to judge, I'm probably the biggest sinner because I shouldn't judge and put you in that place. Now, I did talk about righteousness. I got a verse here that I want to share first. I got a couple of scripture verses here. Hebrews. Oh, wait a minute. I think I got to go on to Romans first. Romans 3, chapter 20. Romans 3, chapter 20. Here it is. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ, to all and all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, that verse that I brought up earlier, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Basically, what that's saying is, we all have hurts. We all accused ourselves. Okay? We all were judged. We all hold unforgiveness towards one another and to ourselves. Well, that's what that verse means, that we all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Some people take that scripture right there and they just say right away, we're born sinners. And you need to confess. You need to get on your face and bury it. That's not true. You just need to change the way you're thinking. You need to forgive. You need to forgive yourself. Now, I want to share with you that it is hard sometimes to get over some things. When you're hurt really bad, it's hard. And I'm not saying that it's easy to get healed. This is why we need God. This is why we need God. This is why we need to become a new person. We need to receive the divine person that's within us. We need to receive the good. We're a good person. We're not a bad person. The only thing that makes us bad, so to say, is the wounds, the hurts, the scars that were put on there by yourself or somebody else judging you, making you feel bad under a law of what they think is right and wrong, good and bad. You create both. Come on up here, Sam. I was talking about earlier, and I want you to share with the people that are listening. We got a lot of followers that are on the website right now, and they need to hear about what's happening out there in the form of sin. And I was sharing how there's this big lie about sin and how we're condemned already in sin. And I just want you to share your thoughts about sin.
I'd like to read real quick, but, you know, I've been watching the Pope. Did you mention this? Yeah, and he was just saying that how he's a sinner. And then as soon as he said it, I had every news broadcaster saying the same thing. Oh, yeah, we're all sinners. You know, the question is, what did Jesus come for? I mean, that's the question. Every Christian denomination believes that Jesus came, died for the sins of the world. And if that's the case, then how's there still sin? Did he die in vain? This is the question you got to ask yourself. What did he come for? He came to break the power of sin or self-judgment or wounds that happen to us that take us out of the will of God, that stop us from moving forward, that make us sit there on our own little island and say, woe is me. I'm depressed. I'm frustrated. No one understands my problems. No one knows what goes on in my life. Well, it says in the Bible that there is nothing that you go through that's not common to all men. There isn't one thing that you go through that isn't common to all men. Whatever you're possibly going through, many have gone through it before you, and they've come out of it. There's nothing you're going through that's not common to every man. But back to sin. I'm going to read something real quick, and this is in a nutshell how easy it is. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or not counting men's sins against them or their trespasses. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins against them. Is that what it says? You can't make it any clearer than that. He's no longer counting your sins against you any longer. Your wounds, your hurts, that's what it is. And Paul says it, and when he talks about sin, he says the wounds. He calls them wounds. He calls them whatever. That's what he calls them. And it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, you don't have to have us tell you you're wicked. You tell yourself you're wicked all day long. We're not here to tell you you're wicked. We're here to say that you are saved. You just don't know it. Amen. We're here to say that there no longer does sin have control over your life. We're here to break the bondage of sin, of self-judgment, of wounds that you have. Everybody has wounds, you know, but when you change the way you think, and this is how it happens. You know, when you have wounds, you're basically sick. We're sick. We're sick. And whether it's mental or physical, it's still a sickness. And we say this all the time. When your mind lines up, when you repent, when you change the way you think, see, just forgive yourself. The only thing you can control is you. You can't control anybody else in this world. You can't control what they say to you. You can't control what they do to you. And the kicker is this. God hardens every heart and softens every heart. So are they really attacking you? If God hardens their heart against you, is it really you who hardened their heart, or is it God that hardened their heart? Why were they upset with you in the first place? Was it you, or was it God hardening their heart? If God hardens every heart and softens every heart, then how can we blame anybody for anything? You know, we have to forgive ourselves, and that's the beginning of the end of everything, forgiving yourself and moving on. But you know, when I heard this today on the news, it was devastating, because it was like everything that we try to bring people out of, they just put them right back in a day. Now we're all sinners again. Now we're all wicked. Now none of us deserve what God's offering. None of us deserve this. But it says in the Bible that Christ was without sin, and if he's the first fruit, if he's the first of many brethren, if he's the first one of many, then the same spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in us. And if he's the first one of many, where's the rest of them at? Where's the rest of the people believing there's no more sin? If he was without sin, and he's the firstborn of many, he's the firstborn, and the same spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in us. no different, then why do we separate ourselves and make us different than him? It's the same spirit.
You stay close because we're going to jump in tonight, okay? Here, take a seat there for a second, and then when you got something to come up, I want you to jump in because we're going to tag team tonight. I think the people really need to hear the truth about this sin, because when we say he was without sin, I want everyone to know who he is. He is who you are, how you feel. And you have to wear it. Listen, if God hardened this person's heart to come after you, you have to have confidence to know inside of you that you're following God. When you follow God, you're without sin. So let that person be upset with you. It doesn't matter. Are you upset with yourself? Do you know that you're doing right? Are you doing the right thing? That's all you have to be concerned about, really, when it all comes down to it. I think when God hardens the hearts on people, I think he's just trying to strengthen you up. Trying to strengthen you to know who you are. Because what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to forgive one another, right? So if someone's coming against you, what are we supposed to do? Humble ourselves and forgive them. But what gives us the power to humble ourselves and forgive them? I'm going to tell you what gives you the power to humble yourself and forgive them. The knowledge of God. The knowing of who you are. God inside of you that makes you feel the way you feel. Listen, I'm not going to tell you what to do. You know what to do. You know what's right. Maybe I might disagree with what you're doing, but does it matter? Maybe I'll voice myself. Does it matter? And it shouldn't even affect you because you know who you are. You know your feelings. And nobody's going to change them. Now, when you know someone like me, and they know who you are, and believe in you, they're going to say, don't listen to that person. You go for it. And here, let me give you some money to help you get there. That's what it's all about. That's why we need one another. That's why we need to strengthen this truth so that we can build one another up in the law that's written on our heart. Not to condemn. The whole world is condemned already. And the whole world will keep on condemning you. You'll have 20 people. When you're in God's will, I'm going to tell you right now, this is what happens. You're the only one that knows what's going on, and everybody else is against what you're doing. Unless you're with people who know God. The true God, I'm telling you. The true God. Not a religious God. Not a God of idols. The true living God. Because that true living God in that person will support you. Will help you fill your dreams. Despite what they think or judge, whatever it may be, they still see your heart. And that heart is saying one thing, and they hear it because God allows their ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. This is why it's so important to know this God, because when we all know this God, we can work with one another and know each other by the Spirit. They know each other by their love. There is no judgment or voicing great opinions in love. Everybody's got opinion. How many people believe that one? Everybody's got an opinion. We want to build people up. We want to build them up in the relationship with God. I'm tired of this sin stuff. I want to put away sin. And the way I can put away sin is for you to know who you are. And if you know that you're Christ, and Christ is really just a divine being. A good person. Like I said, you're all Christ. You don't even know it. Every one of you are Christ. It's a heart without a scar. What took us out of Christ is the scars. What puts us back into Christ? The scars are healed. We become born again. A new creation, like Sam read that verse. We become a new creation in him. That means that we had a pure heart. We came into abuse. whether it's through ourselves or others, we find God, we become born again, and our wounds are healed by forgiveness. Forgiving ourselves and forgiving others. And then the wounds on our heart heal. And then it's no longer I that lives, but he that lives within me, who was there from the very beginning. I want us all tonight, those that are listening around the world and those that are listening on a recorded tape, however you hear this message, come out of sin. There's no 10-step. Just let it go. Just let it go. Most of the sin that we're carrying, if we're in sin, if you want to condemn yourself, it's because we're holding it. It's like we're carrying a bag filled of rocks, just weighing us down. And this is the worst thing. Let's say you were in a relationship, and that relationship scarred your heart. And I'm talking to somebody right now. And that relationship scarred your heart. And I understand the pain that you're carrying. But if you don't forgive that situation that you were involved in, the next relationship that you go into, you'll be cursed. And that curse will follow you wherever you go. And maybe there's someone listening right now that feels like they never can run away from these bad things because they keep happening. It's because you're carrying a curse. You're carrying the sin. You're carrying the wounds on your heart. And wherever you go, no matter what you do, if you still have those scars and you're not healed, you're going to have a curse on your life. And you're condemned, and you're going to burn. You're going to burn with anguish and hatred and resentment, fear. And you'll never be able to have a fruitful life. You'll never have a life of peace and joy and happiness. And that's why I'm saying, for you to know my God, for you to know the God that I know, the God of truth, the God that created you from the foundations of the world. Listen, you've been up there already in that place. And you came here to know him the more. I'm writing a book, and I can't wait for that book to come out so that truth can be told, and everyone will be able to hear. But in the meantime, please listen to these tapes. Please log on and listen so that you will know more of this truth, and you'll know God, because God's never leaving you nor forsaking you. He's right there. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And I need you to draw near to him. And I'm going to start talking about how to draw near to God. But I'm going to tell you, right now, there's a darkness, there's a separation of darkness that is between you and God, and it falls to unforgiveness. And you hold the keys. You hold the keys. It's not that you have to wait for God to forgive you. You're already forgiven. You hold the keys to set yourself free. It's a mindset that you have to change. Let it go. Listen, whether you or the other put the hurts in your heart, we just didn't know what we were doing. I didn't know what I was doing. Nobody knew what was doing. They weren't intentional. It was like a scar fighting another scar. I just want everybody to come to a place of just forgiving and loving one another, but not in a mushy way, in a truth way. If you see somebody where you know you're convicted in your heart, voice it. But at the same time, if you know you're right in your heart, don't let it hurt you. I want everyone to just bow their heads for a moment as we end this service. If you're listening, just bow your head for a moment, because I want to pray and ask for the Spirit of God to come and begin to move on your heart. If there's some wounds over there that you have that are causing bitterness, or I don't want curses in your life. I want you to move forward and I want you to be blessed. I want relationships to work out. If you're coming into a new relationship, I want that relationship to work so bad. I don't want them to somehow get soured and then you guys separate. Whether it's children, new relationships with wife or husband or friends, family, whatever it might be, because 99.9% relationships is where they all go sour. And then we're a loner, stuck somewhere with an addiction. Nobody understands, nobody cares, because of bitterness and anger and resentment and hatred. I want it to go. So I break those powers now, those curses that are in your life. And I bring a healing balm of Gilead, a healing balm. Come and just explode over to your life, that it hits you. And it's a cloud that just surrounds you and starts comforting that heart and bringing knowledge and a revelation and an understanding. To be able to have boldness to stand up and say, you know what? I didn't do anything wrong. What I've done is my best, and I can't answer for anyone else. And what happened to me through others, I can't explain. They have needs and wants and desires that are causing them to do the things that they don't want to do. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. And that you supernaturally begin to touch those that are here and those that are listening. I know who you are. And I ask that you glorify me so that I can continue to glorify you, Lord. Touch those individuals. Make them whole. Take away the thought of sin where there is no more sin in their life. Nor is there any sin in other people's lives. And bring this love and unity together. I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise and thank him for his word. And just remember, if you could, and hit that PayPal, boom, boom, boom. You know, I have to come to a place of humbling myself and ask, hit the PayPal, sow a seed, buy some CDs as a donation, log on to the website. Keep letting this word wash over you. Come to the banquet table, I say. Eat this, what we have here. Come out and fellowship here. You know, I'm going to give Sam the mic because he has an important message to share with those that are listening, because it is important that we come together in unity, because they need witnesses. People need to know. And when they have God in them, they can hear God and hear your heart and say, you know what? You're right. What you're doing is right. You keep going.
I really believe that the only reason that there is still sin is because parents are raising children with that knowledge. They're teaching them at a young age that they're sinners. But I know three children who are being raised up in this church who aren't going to know sin. I spoke to someone earlier, and they said, oh, it's a free will. I said, well, if it's a free will, then why don't you choose not to be a sinner? If you got a choice to be a sinner or not be a sinner based on your free will, what are we choosing? We choose everything. We choose how we're going to have our day. We choose what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. You choose everything. So choose not to be a sinner. It's that simple. I mean, it's that simple. If you have a free will to choose, well, why are we choosing that? You know, and it's vital. Like Pastor said, everyone has a path in their life. Everyone has a hope. Everyone has a passion. Everyone has a dream. And the only people who are going to see that are the ones that have the same passion and the same dreams. They have their own based on what God's showing them, how God's leading them, people who are following God. And this place follows God. You could be around all your friends, like Pastor said, 20 of them, and not one of them is going to encourage you in the path that God has for you because they can't see it. It goes against what they think. It goes against what they believe. But people who are following God are going to see your passion, and they're going to back you 100%. And they're the only ones who are going to. I go to all my friends every day. I go to work, but the only place I get truth to encourage me to keep going in my walk is this place. The only place that I get encouragement to follow out and to walk out my path is this place. And without it, I don't know what I would do because you're going to hear the loudest voice in your ear every day. You got somebody to keep talking to you and talking to you. You're eventually going to listen to that voice no matter what because it never shuts up. So I'd rather have the voice of God in my ear all day long saying, it's okay. You're almost there. Keep going. You're going to make it. Don't worry. I promise. You're going to make it. Let us help you get there. You're going to make it. Don't give up. One more step. One more step. We encourage here. We don't destroy and break down. Sin destroys. It destroys. But this place will help create a life in you. It'll just help you walk it out. It's already there. The life's already there. You just need a little encouragement, a little movement to the left, a little to the right, and you're going to get there. I promise. Keep listening to the messages, but more than that, come out. Fellowship with us. Believe me, it'll change your life. Amen.
You know, you made a comment about the world. Well, the world is misery. Yep. And I don't care what anybody says. The world's misery.
Misery loves company.
Yep. And the whole world's full of misery. So when you begin to want to follow your dream, follow your hope, I guarantee it, I'll test you. Find your dream, find your hope, and begin to tell people about it. I bet you there's going to be like 90% of them are going to be like, why are you doing that? Yeah, oh, it'll never happen. You can't do that. You can't do that. Now, there are going to be some that will say, oh, nice. Oh, sure. Go ahead. But I guarantee behind closed doors, they're talking behind your back. I know it. Because I know that there's some people probably listening and knows, who knows, maybe even be here tonight, that'll say, well, that's not true because everybody encourages everybody in my family. We're always encouraging everybody, you know. There's that stream of, ooh, everything's good, everything's great. You can do whatever you want and you can be whatever you want. But I guarantee, if you could record them behind closed doors, they're talking behind your back. I guarantee it. You'll find out. You'll see. Wait until their guard drops. Catch them on that certain moment. Rub them a certain way. And you'll find out that they weren't really all that agreeing with you. I know, I tested a lot of spirits and found out the truth. With that being said, be blessed. Know the importance of getting together with people who are in the same like mind and the same like spirit. You want good spirit to be with good spirit. Someone that's really going to encourage you and to lift you up. Someone that will really heal those wounded hearts because, listen, we can walk with God on our own, but we also need God with us through others. The same God. Not just a religious God somewhere or what have you, or an idol of some sort that you made up, but the truth God. The true living God. You know, when Jesus was the man made into sin, basically he was put in an environment that could be very offended. Yep. And that's what it all came down to. He was put to know sin. So he knew what it was like to be offended. But he was one without sin. And I admire that guy. When I was taken up into that realm, I met him. I know who he is. He's a brother. He's not my God. He's a brother. And he told me to go back and tell them about my Father. Tell them to stop worshiping me. Tell them to go back and tell them about my Father.
In the Bible, he says, worship God and him only.
Well, I'm here to confirm that. And I will say, though, that there was a holiness with him. There was a reverence. It was like things stopped chattering when he entered into that place. And there was a holy reverence there, like a holy hush of reverence. I'll describe it in the book. But at the same time, he's equal. He knows us, and we're one. Not a higher level plane, so to say. Not a king. Not God. But yet God. God was with him, as he is with you. So to know sin, he knew what it was to be offended. And that's what the truth is about him being one with sin, so to say. He knew what it was like to be offended. Think about it. One day he's healing people and doing miracles, signs, and wonders, and they're glorifying him. And then the next day, they're like, crucify! I think you would get offended too, wouldn't you? So he knew sin in that area. And so I want to bless everyone. Thank you. I know it's getting late. I don't want to hold up your time. I'm sure we're still a little live or not live yet. All right, good. God bless. Thank you, nations. I think how many nations are we up to? 70 plus? 70 plus nations. Thank you. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.